Welcome to the Games Monday Wash Up with Mark Duffield. Brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops.
Well, hello, listeners. It's Monday. It's time for the Wash Up podcast. I'm Mark Duffield, the senior football writer at the West Australian newspaper. I have alongside me Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. Quarters, I believe I've passed on the lurgy to you, so well done. Caring is sharing.
No worries, mate. That's what we do here. In this little podcast studio we have here, it's bound to happen. That's fine, mate. I play the team game.
Oh, well.
You go down, I go down.
All right. Fine. So there's a bit to talk about, even though there was precious little footy at the weekend. Let's start with the fact that there was precious little footy at the weekend.
Well, there was some precious little footy.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yes.
The bye, do you like it or don't you?
Look, I don't mind it. I'm a bit ambivalent at the moment, but I think we need to give it 3 or 4 years. I reckon as we progress, it's only been its second year this year?
Yep.
Sports science will get better. They'll manage it better. The teams at the top will manage it better. I think the fours definitely outweigh the against for the bye at the moment. What I would like to see is if they do introduce a wildcard concept, where 9 and 10 are playing 7 and 8 for positions in the 8, that could perhaps be in the bye round.
Okay.
Because it was a letdown weekend. I mean, there was really not much happening, apart from one game we'll talk about later. But, yeah, I think I don't mind it. I'd stick with it for at least a few more years.
I reckon, I keep on asking myself, why all the opposition to it? It delivered a great final series last year.
It did, yeah.
It gives every team in the 8 a more even shot at it. I think 3 of the 4 games as of late last week were sellouts, and they were closing in on a sellout in the 4th. And we get to delineate between the home and away season and the final season mentally.
Yep.
So that mentally when we show up at Adelaide Oval on Thursday night, we know this is finals.
Yep.
This is it. This is a step up from what we've been seeing and what the players have been doing. So I like all of that, and I agree with you entirely. I think the sports scientists will get hold of this, and if you're one of the top 4 teams that wins in the first week, they'll say, OK, we need to do this and we need to do this. And I keep on coming back to Fremantle in 2013.
Yep.
They rested their players in the last home and away round. They won in the first week of the finals, and they trained a little bit harder in that off break, and then they delivered their best ever performance in the preliminary final against Sydney. The notion that this cannot be done is rubbish. And I'll also say to all the coaches who seem to be the main opposition to this, shut up. Because you guys have been so good for the game. You've delivered us the flood, the press, numbers around the ball, too many rotations, ugly football. So shut up. This is about delivering the best show for the fans. You coach your teams, get on with it, and shut up.
Yeah, well, look, and if you do finish in that top 4, you will be getting the double chance. You will be getting a home final. If you finish first or second, definitely. And you will be able to get the rest. So, look, there are still massive advantages, I think, in finishing top 4 and having the bye once they get better at sports science.
And just to qualify what I just said about the coaches, in case anyone mistakes it for outright abuse, which it nearly was, I just think coaches are so driven by self-interest on these things. They are the last people we should be listening to. We should be listening to the people who believe they have found a way to deliver a better show for the fans.
Which it has been so far with the bye, I think.
Yes, I agree entirely. So let's get on with it.
Okay, and let's see if that wildcard concept can be introduced for the bye weekend, because there was a little bit lacking, and perhaps stuff we can have an AFLW exhibition or State of Origin game that actually is worthy of watching, because that was a shocker.
Yeah, hold your fire on the AFLW. We're going to get to that. Gary Ablett won a best and fairest, his 4th best and fairest at the Gold Coast Suns while playing 14 games. Your thoughts?
Disgrace. Not for Gary, but look, I think it's an indictment on the Gold Coast Suns, and we had at the weekend in the Sunday Times Mick Malthouse column and a Carl Langdon column basically calling for the Suns to be scrapped. Of course, that's probably unlikely, and it wouldn't happen until the next round of TV rights anyway, but they just think that they're milking everything that Queensland... Queensland's a real drama at the moment. It's hard enough trying to prop up Brisbane, let alone Gold Coast. Gold Coast has got that transient population. Footy clubs never survive there. We could go on about that, but I think their struggles are so severe, and the bloke who played 14 games for them wins their best and fairest. I think that's an indictment on the Suns.
Well, do we scrap them, Or do we look to relocate the 18th team and put it in a more viable market?
Oh, you have to have 18 teams. So I would. My preference is for Tasmania to have a team.
It's either Tasmania or the Northern Territory, isn't it? It's one of those two.
Or in the Perth's northern suburbs has been floated as well, perhaps up Joondalup or somewhere else. So that's an option, but I think Tassie is the go.
Yeah, I agree. I think Tasmania, on most measurements you do, I think Tasmania has earned the right to have a team.
And you pour everything into Brisbane, so you get the Queensland market going, and you just forget the fact, look, the Gold Coast, you go there if you're 18 or 80, Duff, in my opinion. I used to go there when I was 18 and have a great time. I've been back and I don't like it, but I will go back when I'm 80.
Why can't the players are neither 18 nor 80?
Yeah, that's right.
Why can't they turn up and play?
Well, you know what? I don't think Gary Ablett's leadership's been great this year, and if he's setting it the example as their marquee player, then you wouldn't blame them for, we can turn up and play and we can turn up and train when we like. I'm not sure why. It's the atmosphere perhaps on the Gold Coast. It's that laid-back sort of atmosphere. I would have thought Rocket E would have instilled something in that club that would work against that. One of the most important decisions the AFL will ever make will be the next appointment of this next coach at the Gold Coast Suns. That's for sure.
Now, your senior football writer, Braden Quatermain, very fine writer, wrote a piece on AFL fixturing and how to fix the fixturing.
Yeah.
I would have thought the AFL does fix it every year. It's good that they call it a fixture because that's pretty appropriate, I think.
Well, look, it's not a great system at the moment. It's just not. It's all over the shop. And it's obviously about bums on seats. It's all about, your marquee games. It's about two home games, where you've got the two teams in the one state. But look, I think the 17-5 system that Braden was mooting is a great system. You play everyone once, then the ladder's divided into three. Top tier, middle tier, bottom tier.
So this is the system where the top six play for spots in the four.
Yep.
The middle six play for the last two spots in the eight.
Yep.
And the
bottom six
play for draft picks.
That's it. Yeah. Well, I think it's a great system. Is it faultless? No way. But it's the best system I think that's been offered up so far. And I think it's high time they introduce it. I hope they do it next year. They probably won't. It'll probably be the year after. But I'd like to see it come in, and that wild card I mentioned earlier for the bye rounds, whereby you have the top two teams of the middle tier and the bottom two teams of your top tier playing off for those last two spots in the
eight. So let me throw the elephant in the corner of the room at you. Obviously, it strips you of blockbuster matches. How do we make up for that?
Look, it does. As I said, it's not perfect. I think you're going to have to try where possible. Look, there will be still be blockbuster games. You'll still have your Anzac Day. You'll still have your Derby. You may not get two Derbies in a year, but I think that's the price we have to pay to make this a fairer system.
And what you could probably do in every one of the major markets is maybe play a big pre-season blockbuster for charity to try and maybe raise some funds that you're missing out on, because that's what you're missing out on, aren't you, really? And the other thing you've got to do, I reckon, Quarters, if you're going to do that blockbuster, the one blockbuster that gets played, whether it's Adelaide, Port Adelaide or West Coast Fremantle, that has to be a shared gate game.
Yeah, fair call.
Yep. Eight homes, eight aways, one neutral game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'd agree with that.
And I think if you get to that situation, then I think that is a big step up on what we have at the moment.
It'll be interesting to see how the clubs approach this, the 17-5.
Now, Quarters, I know I've been crook for a couple of weeks, but I reckon I'm turning into a grumpy old man.
I reckon there's two rants coming here.
There's two rants coming. The first is, and I'm going to make this quick, the Rising Star. It was a few days ago now. Yep. If Sam Pell-Pepper couldn't win that, they might as well cancel the bloody thing. You can compare the other major contenders with other people in this crop. You can compare Ryan Burton to Eric Hipwood or Charlie Kerner, who was your pick. And Charlie Kerner, I think, will be the best player in this crop.
Yep.
You can compare Andrew McGrath to Fremantle's Luke Ryan. And they actually ran up very similar statistics, playing a similar role. You know why you can't compare Sam Pell-Pepper to anyone else? Because nobody else plays his bloody role.
Yeah.
Because it's not a role they give to kids.
Yep.
The Rising Star Award should be for outstanding achievement for a player in his who meets the selection criteria. That player this year was Sam Pell-Pepper. Should have won it. Should have been daylight second.
Because he played inside mid and in a pretty powerful midfield, which is very hard to do in your first year. Oh, the only thing I'll say to that is, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think of the three, Sam Pell-Pepper, McGrath and Ryan Burton, I think all three would be deserved winners of it, but perhaps he's a more deserved winner. That's all I'd say. I'm not uncomfortable with either of those three.
Get the splinters out of your backside. Yeah. All right, second round, AFLW, state of origin, state of disrepair.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
If they want to take women's football forwards, and I think you and I can both put our hands on our heart and say we're great supporters of women's football and we were big fans of what they did with the AFLW earlier this year, you cannot have hype that is not matched by the event. And that's what we got on Saturday night. The Allies were poorly selected. They were poorly prepared.
Yeah.
They ran out of puff at the 15-minute mark of the first quarter.
Yep.
And it was a cakewalk for Victoria from then on in. The AFLW, as a brand, took a big step backwards on the weekend.
It did. Look, the first exhibition game they had was great because it was a very strong game and they were fit and ready. The AFLW had some good points about it, but it, you know, obviously the strength was diluted because there were teams, more teams. Last the AFLW game was a disgrace, and I actually thought the standard of the EJ Witten game was a bit higher, to be honest. And I'm not joking.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because I think, you know, someone came up to me during the season and said, "Oh, I'm not sure that an AFLW team would beat a Waffle Colts team," and they wouldn't.
No.
But that's okay.
Yep.
But what we need to see is if you're going to hold an event like that and you're going to hype it like they hyped it, then you need 45 players who turn up ready to play.
Yep, yep.
And congratulations to the Vics because they did.
They sure did.
And that's a feather in their cap. But the Allies, I'm sorry, but there's a few girls there that need to go and seek the room of mirrors and take a good long hard look because there was a lot of work not done. And when you saw the Victorians flooding forward in numbers with no one on them, that tells you one thing, quarters, and you would have coached junior footy and you would know what that's be. They couldn't run with them.
Yep.
And when you can't run with them, you haven't done the work because one thing you should be able to do is run.
And, yeah, run and tackle. That's right, exactly. They couldn't do it.
All right. Well, we've reached the 10-minute mark. It's time to take a quick break and talk about the West Australian app. It's available for free on iTunes and Google Play. This new app brings you comprehensive coverage of news, sport, business and opinion in a fast, easy-to-read format direct to your smartphone or tablet. If it's happening here in the West, it's here in the West Australian app. Let's get to some questions, quarters. Alex asks, there's rumours of West Coast interest in Tommy Rockcliffe, given his friendship with Jack Redden. Is it likely, and do you think he would be a good fit?
It's the first I've heard of it. Of course he would be a good fit. I don't think he's going anywhere. 12 months ago I would have said absolutely he will be on the move, but I think his relationship with Chris Fagan has turned his career around at the Brisbane Lions, and I think he will stay there.
I think he's still a chance to shift. I think he'll shift on better terms.
Yeah.
And I think if he does want to shift, there'll be more currency for him. There's rumours that Adelaide are interested.
How old's Rockcliffe?
Well, he's about the same age as Redden, I reckon. So, yeah, okay. So I think he's late 20s now.
So he's still got a little bit of footy, 5-6 years left perhaps.
In one regard, he's a good fit for West Coast because he's a clever player, he wins his own ball, and he can go forward. He plays really well as a forward, Tommy Rockcliffe. Mm. So those are all ticks as to whether West Coast should get him. There's one big cross. He's not quick. And a lot of their problems this year have basically come back to the fact that they're not quick and they're defending a big ground. Even though they shift to Burswood next year, it's still going to be a pretty big ground. So if you were betting, if he does shift, and that's no certainty, if he does shift, you would bet on Adelaide maybe
Adelaide's,
being keener than West
Coast.
That's
been a criticism of Adelaide too, is the pace in the midfield at times.
Well, so, that's true. They've got the two Crouches who aren't quick, and Sloane isn't super quick.
But if I was a betting man, I would bet on him staying. I think Fagan wants him there, and I think the last 12 months have been terrific for him.
I hope he stays because there's some positivity coming out of Brisbane, isn't there?
There is.
James, Matt DeBoer could play in a flag for GWS. Why did Freo let him go again?
Well, he could play in a flag. It depends which way they go. Interesting path that the Giants are going to take in the next few weeks. Do they play a Stevie J? Do they want that pressure forward? If they do, they'll probably play a DeBoer. That's the role he plays. I'm not sure if they're going to pick him this week. It's a big call for them.
So you've been steadfast, play Stevie J.
I'm still steadfast in that. I am. I know we're polar opposites on that one. Which is fair enough, but I would play Stevie J still. Yeah, I just think you can't replicate September and what you and your and experience at that time of year.
Well, as I wrote today, then quarters, I said if Stevie J plays one of Lobb, Patton and Cameron has to miss, and that's probably Lobb.
Yeah, it would be Lobb.
Which means Patton is backup ruck to Mumford.
Yep.
Do you agree with that, or would you go with the three talls and Stevie J?
No, I'd go with I would say one of them has to go.
Yep.
And I would play Stevie J.
So that probably means Matt DeBoer still plays.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's not a bad result. I think he gives them something.
Yeah.
He does give them that pressure in the forward line, which they desperately need.
So Ray asks, why did the second part of that question, why did Freo let him go? Well, I think there's a difference between Matt DeBoer being able to play a role as a pressure forward surrounded by five highly skilled, potent forwards, and him playing as a pressured forward surrounded by
five considerably less potent
forwards. And that was, unfortunately, Freo had a lot of guys like Matt DeBoer who were putting in a lot of effort for not much scoreboard impact. And
yeah, he does play a specific role, and they are stacked with talent, the Giants. That's why he works there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Ray, why did Sam Collins only play two games for Freo this year? Is it Ross, matchups, or his lack of pace?
I'm a bit perplexed by that. I like him. I would have played him more. Only Ross can really answer that. I like him. I hope he gets more time next year, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was definitely very good for Peel in their win over South Fremantle at the weekend. God damn it. As a South Fremantle supporter, I say that. It's interesting. I was a bit surprised that they found others to put in front of him. And if Alex Pearce comes back next year, that's going to be another one to put in front of him. Griffin Logue was also very impressive on the weekend. You'd expect him to be better after a summer.
Yeah, well, he'll play. He'll walk up start next year. So
I suspect Sammy is going to be one of those guys. He's either going to be a depth defender or he'll drop off the list in a year or two, which is a shame because he's a really good character.
Well, we'd go elsewhere. Someone will pick him up. He's good enough, I think.
Hope so.
Yep.
Craig, do you like the bye? I think we've covered that.
Yep.
Mag asks, if West Coast win and Adelaide lose, should the Eagles fly straight to their next location or maybe even stay in Adelaide if they're playing the Crows?
Well, if Adelaide lose and West Coast win, they will be playing consecutive weeks in Adelaide. I'd fly home still. I don't think it's that far away and there's nothing better than your own bed. I would still fly home.
Yeah, that's what they like to do. I'm not sure on the science of this, but it's certainly they dabbled with going from one game to the next on the East Coast in their first season. It was a disaster.
Yep.
And they haven't really revisited
since. They've actually been doing it for a while, the Eagles. They should be okay at it, I reckon.
Yeah, well, I think both WA teams have settled on this travel routine. If you go 2 days before the game, they believe that gives them their best chance and their best preparation, and I think they'll stick with that. Damien asks, does Hayden Crozier have a new deal on the table at Fremantle and what's the hold-up? I think Crozier's signed.
Yeah, I think he has. Yeah.
I'll check on that, Damien, and we'll come back to you on that on Wednesday. But I have a feeling Hayden Crozier has signed. Pete asks, I was waiting for one on the alignment.
Mm.
Peel look like they'll kill Subiaco this week with a team full of Dockers. Is the waffle officially a joke with this alignment?
Well, I tell you what. If they beat Subi, when was the last time Subi lost? Round one? I think it was round one to South, was it?
I think you were a twinkle in your father's eye. The last
Subi,
time Subi
have
ever
had,
lost.
They've had a record sequence of wins this year. Yep. If they lose this week, there will be an uproar.
I reckon that there's going to be more tinkering with the alignment qualifications for finals.
It's 15 now, right?
I would urge them to not worry so much about the total number, and I would look at the 25 pluses. So if we look at the guys that the waffle players struggle to compete against, last year it was Silvani, DeBoer, Mzungu, Subin, Shane Yaron.
So if you're under 25, you can play.
I reckon as long as you've met the qualification. So your five games, that's fine. If you play those five games, you play waffle finals.
Yep.
I would say that they can only play three 25-pluses. And those three have to be the ones that have played the most games.
Okay.
And the only way you have an exception to that is if the total number dips below 10. If it dips below 10, you can add in 25 pluses to make it up to 10.
Yep.
But you have to go with the ones that have played the most games.
That's a well thought out and I think good solution to it, Duff. I like that. I think there will be dramas this week if they lose, so I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, well, I don't barrack for Subi much because I think they start with double the resources of everyone else. So I think that has been the most inherent inequality in the waffle so far anyway. But
they have had a good year and deserve some reward for it. And, it'd be a bold man to pick against them this week, but if they get crushed by Peel, whoa.
I think for the sake of the credibility of this year's premiership, I think Subi needs to win this year's premiership.
Oh, they do.
And I think if they don't, I think everyone needs to sit in a room and say, well, okay, we've got this wrong. Mm. We need to fix it.
They need to talk to you, Duff.
Yes, well, I mean, geez, I know the name of the unknown soldier and the bloke who shot him, Quarters. So. All right, we'll be back on Wednesday and we'll have a full preview of the four matches. Quarters are going to be four great matches, I reckon, this weekend.
Cracking games. I can't wait, actually. It's been a bit like a Super Bowl build-up because it's been 2 weeks.
Love it. I love it. In the meantime, if you've got anything that we haven't covered today, send us a tweet or an email. We'll try and address it for you on Wednesday. And in the meantime, hope your team did well on the weekend. And hopefully you're looking forward to finals action from your team next week.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.